From the Don Lee Studios in California, we send greetings and a salute to Mutual stations and millions of listeners from coast to coast. The Don Lee radio chain, known to millions of staunch listeners as California's Golden Group, celebrates its affiliation with Mutual as that young but exceedingly vigorous network stretches its web of powerful stations from the Atlantic to the Pacific. We are happy to introduce as your master of ceremonies on this joyful occasion a motion picture personality known on the stage and radio and loved by all of you. A star noted as a splendid influence in every phase of the film world. Ladies and gentlemen, Conrad Nagel.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, John. I appreciate more deeply than I can tell you the privilege of participating in the dedication of this newest transcontinental network. You know, Hollywood is famed for its glittering premieres, and tonight we witness another of these glamorous occasions. We have stars galore, brilliant music, a radio preview of a forthcoming motion picture starring one of Fildom's grandest actors, greetings and places that we'll keep a secret until we're ready. In fact, we have everything that goes to make a smash opening, and I'm sure we're all going to have a grand time. Our opening number this evening was directed by that distinguished modernist, David Brookman. Later in the program, we'll hear more of his brilliant arrangements of popular melodies. But now we step over to the realm of the classics with a rendition under the baton of another of the Pacific Coast's most accomplished conductors, Frederick Starr. Mr. Starr leads the orchestra now in a selection he directed in his first appearance in the Hollywood Bowl. His own arrangement for modern orchestra, a Franz Liszt symphonic poem, Les Preludes. Appropriately, we hear a word from officials of the two broadcasting chains, which have become linked in a great coast-to-coast network. One of Mutual's executives with us here in Hollywood tonight is Fred Weber, the general manager of the Mutual Broadcasting System, who will introduce the head of the Golden Group for a word of welcome. It's my pleasure to present Mr. Weber.
Last evening, you heard programs from and voices of the men guiding the destinies of the stations which pioneered the development of the third coast-to-coast network. Tonight, it is a genuine pleasure to introduce the man who has developed the organization on the Pacific Coast, which in the past few years has contributed immeasurably to the successful development of another nationwide broadcasting system. From this time on, the Don Lee Broadcasting System combines with those other stations, new and old, of the Mutual Network, to increasingly serve the international audience and our advertisers, to whom we extend our sincere appreciation for their approval of mutual efforts during the past 2 years. It is a privilege to introduce Mr. Thomas Lee, president of the Don Lee Golden Group and son of its late beloved founder, Don Lee.
Ladies and gentlemen, we in California are very happy tonight to extend greetings to the many fine organizations which constitute the coast-to-coast network of the Mutual Broadcasting System. We are all proud to be associated with such men as Alfred J. McCosker of WOR New York, W.E. McFarlane of WGN Chicago, Powell Crosley Jr. of WLW Cincinnati, and John Shepard III of the Colonial Network. Men of vision and progress, men who represent the highest ideals of radio. To be part of this mutual organization is indeed an honor. We welcome our associates, the Iowa Network, the Central State System, WHB Kansas City, KFEL Denver, KGMB Honolulu, and the other affiliations of our cooperative broadcasting chain. May I also take this opportunity of congratulating the stations, artists, and the wonderful bands who last night adjoined in the nationwide salute. It was indeed a stirring and inspiring introduction of Mutual to the West Coast. We are very grateful for this glorious salute. With all due modesty, we of the Don Lee Broadcasting System take our stand beside these great producing units. We pledge to you our heartiest cooperation and our sincere efforts in maintaining the high standards of the Mutual Broadcasting Network. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy Lee. May I read a telegram? May I congratulate your organization upon its new nationwide radio network affiliation. The Mutual Network will be able to render great service to our people. I wish you success in your program of expansion. Frank F. Miriam, Governor of California. Now looking eastward in the Golden State, we send a tribute of music in the Brookman manner. David Brookman's orchestra and glee choir in a new song of the Old West. I'm an old cowhand. You may ride, David.
I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. got a general store and a hot dog stand. I get merchandises off the best, and I'm competing with all the rest. I'm a fucking best man from the best. Yippee-yi-yo, kaye. Yippee-yi-yo, kaye.
Yippee-yi-yo, kaye.
Thanks, David. That was a grand ride. Joining us in the festivities here in Hollywood this evening are many of Filmland's most gifted stars. Around me now are ever so many personalities known to all of you. I'm going to introduce just a couple of them now for a word of greeting. Here's one of Grand National Studios' talented stars, an exceptionally capable artist who enjoys the reputation of being one of the screen's pleasantest personalities, but who nevertheless had the very unpleasant experience of having a grapefruit pushed in her face by Jimmy Cagney once upon a time. In a picture, of course. I'm speaking of Mae Clark. May we call upon you for just a word, Mae Clark.
Mr. Nagel, but that was in a picture called Public Enemy and a long time ago. And since then, Jimmy's screen character's reformed and he's a great guy. And that's the name of the picture we've just finished.
Oh, I'm certainly certain too it's going to be really worthwhile. Now, May, how about a greeting?
Why, of course. I'm awfully happy to present, to be present at this inaugural broadcast, to say congratulations and best of everything to both the Don Lee Golden Group and the Mutual Network. Out here in Hollywood, we've listened to many, many excellent programs produced by the Don Lee Network. And now that this Western chain has been linked with Mutual, we're looking forward enthusiastically to the great programs that this new coast-to-coast network will bring us. Best of luck to you all.
Thank you, Mae Clark. Thank you very much. And now here's a gentleman who isn't a motion picture star, but who's definitely a part of Hollywood. Arthur Unger, the editor of Daily Variety, I'm sure he knows more stars and producers and directors and writers than any man in the film capital. I think it would be interesting to hear from him. Arthur Unger. Come on out, will you, Arthur? Arthur, we all know that the Variety is called the Bible of the show world, inasmuch as this great paper of the entertainment business now covers not only the stage and screen, but radio as well. I know millions of us radio fans would like a word from you on this significant occasion. How about it?
Well, Conrad, it's a pleasure. But I won't talk shop. I'd like to talk a little about the Don Lee and Mutual Network. The radio business is a case of salute and salute. There's always something or somebody that wants a proper push-off, which means salute in the language of the ether waves. Now, it looks like a double salute. Tommy Lee is carrying his station into the east over a new network, and the new network is invading the coast. That's fine, folks. You will be getting a little more radio entertainment to choose from. Young Tommy is a smart little showman, a chip off the old block. Being smart, he has smart boys around him, and as a combination, they can hold their own with any organization in the radio industry. Don Lee was an astute and progressive showman. He had great faith in radio, also in his boy Tommy. They're not going back on him. Both are progressing, and will continue to do so, leaving an everlasting monument to the founder of the Don Lee system, which we feel certain young Tommy will always keep bright and up to the minute. Therefore, Don Lee Network, carry on with your master, and the Pacific Coast will be your beneficiaries for all time. They need you and your entertainment. It's swell. So salutations, Tommy Lee and Mutual, and may you invite us around any time you have a party. We'll be glad to celebrate with you.
Thank you, Arthur. That's great. Thanks again, Arthur. From the roistering days of 49, when San Francisco was young and jubilant, through the years of steady progress to its present eminence, the city of the Golden Gate has always been famous for its gaiety and its sophistication, its subtle, worldly charm. Claude Sweeten, long an outstanding figure in radio, is in charge of the musical destiny of the Don Lee station in that city, KFRC. We will transfer control now to the north for Claude Sweeten's medley of selections from Carmen. To San Francisco and KFRC. Claude, it's all yours.
位晚安，经代表华埠电话馆同仁恭祝各位新春万福。
Which means, ladies and gentlemen, that we are now speaking to you from the switchboard room of San Francisco's Chinatown telephone office. And a very unique telephone office it is, near one of Chinatown's busiest corners, where hundreds of Chinese, many in traditional dress, are passing along the sidewalks outside. For night here is the busiest part of the 24 hours. The switchboard room is truly a beauty spot, with its black lacquer walls trimmed in gold, glass Chinese lanterns of many colors hanging from the ceiling, and a switchboard of ebony finish with upturned corners in the Chinese manner. Tonight, we are the guests of Mr. Lou Kern, manager of the San Francisco Chinatown telephone office. And there are many questions we want to ask him. First of all, Mr. Lou, I think our listeners would be interested in knowing how long Chinatown has used telephones.
Well, if you put it that way, Mr. Venter, we have had them almost from the beginning. Huang Li, a Chinese merchant, had telephones in his three stores and was listed in the third telephone directory in the world, published in San Francisco in 1878. He was the first Chinese telephone subscriber in the world. His grandson now has a telephone under the same name, but a separate Chinatown exchange was not established until 1894, when my father, Lu Kumshu, found it with 100 telephones. Until 1907, Chinese men were operators, and since that was during the Manchu dynasty in China, they wore kilns, pigtails to you. I see. Our exchange was destroyed in the Great Fire of 1906. Upon leaving, the telephone company erected this pagoda a short distance from the old location. It is a curious fact that one of our present operators here tonight, a young girl named Elizabeth Lee, is a granddaughter of Chan Yong Lai, one of the first men operators 40 years ago. She wears bob hair, but he wore all a pigtail.
Tell me this, Mr. Lou. Is it correct that Chinatown people call for their party by name instead of by number, and that your operators have to memorize all those names and numbers?
It was entirely true until a few years ago. And even now, most calls are made that way. You see, the 2,300 telephones connected with this office are located in Chinatown's homes and stores, where 17,000 Chinese people live and work, and they and the operators talk Chinese. This is the only place in the world where that is done, outside of old China. You know, we are a very compact community within 14 blocks, a small city surrounded by this greater city of San Francisco. We have many unusual things, including our own telephone directory in Chinese characters, published by the Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Company, which operates this office. Our directory is the only one in America that is hand-lettered before it is engraved and printed. Now, here is a typical call. Supposing Huang Ming wants to reach Chan Sing, the grocer. He says to the operator, "Dali Chan Sing," or "I want Chan Sing."
"Finger Chan Sing, ah?" Or in English, "Which Chan Sing?"
"Kui Mai Jia Fo," which means he sells general Chinese merchandise.
"Chan Sing Mo Wei Yum," which means Chan Sing does not answer.
"Kui Gong Mat Hui Jun Liu," "Gong Mat Hai San Dan." In English, he might be going to the Josh House since the day is the birthday of the gods, a holiday.
Meaning, I'll ring the Josh House for you.
Or the same as saying, "I found Chan Sing at the Josh House. Thank you very much."
Well, that was most interesting, Mr. Liu. There are many more questions we'd like to ask you, but our time is just about up, so we'll have to say goodnight.
Good night, Mr. Venter. Gong Ho San Hei, which is our way of saying greetings to you on a new year.
And the same to you, sir. And now, back to you, Conrad Nagel.
Thank you. Thank you, gracious San Francisco. The scene has shifted back again to our studios in Hollywood, where the program continues after a brief pause for station identification. John Conte, that's your cue.
Yes, Conrad.
And to stations from coast to coast, here comes your cue. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System. Thank you.
Hollywood again, we proceed with the celebration of Mutual's affiliation with the Don Lee chain on the West Coast. Conrad Nagel, will you take the helm again?
With pleasure, John. Standing almost before me now are more film celebrities whose talents are familiar to all of you. You know, we've all laughed at our favorite comedians in many pictures, and I, for one, have always been particularly susceptible to the droll fun of the man I'm about to introduce to you. In his latest picture, Sing Me a Love Song, a Warner Brothers Cosmopolitan film, he achieves new heights. And I can promise that when you see it, you'll roar at Hugh Herbert.
Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Conrad.
That's nice.
Well, just swam down from Hollywood.
Sorry.
Conrad, you took... What do you say here? What do you say about me?
Hugh, I can't exaggerate your splendid performance as Mr. Hammerschlag.
Thank you, Conrad.
You know, with your background and many years' theatrical experience, I should like to have you tell us what you think of radio.
I'll never replace the horse. Never, never.
Well, you know, I kind of think you're right, Hugh.
Yeah, it might take the place of newspapers, though.
Oh, you think that, do you?
Yes, but it wouldn't look nice to see swatting flies on the radio set, would it?
Woo! Well, that's a telling point.
Yeah, I'll tell you a secret, Conrad. I don't believe in radio at all.
What? What do you mean you don't believe in it?
There's a trick in it, You can't tell me I can stand here and talk into this little thing I have here and come out in somebody's parlor in Des Moines. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're a nice fella, Conrad, and you have a pretty fair reputation, but this is going too far, too far, too far.
Oh, no, no. Come, you. Radio's the wonder of the age.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll have in another 10 years. You know, I'm working on a device now. Working on a device I think it'll be very handy. A combination deep-sea trout rod and a marmalade dish. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
You know, I can't think of anything I'd rather have. Take my order for three, will you?
Oh, Conrad, you're so silly. What you need on this program is more dignity, more dignity, more dignity. Perhaps I should take a charge myself. Now you're wasting time telling jokes when you want to know everybody would rather listen to the music.
Well, maybe you've got something there, you.
Yeah, of course, of course. But I must congratulate the new network. Congratulations to the Don Lee organization, and good luck and good night. I'm sure everybody's going to be mutually happy. Woo-hoo!
Thank you, you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of miles across the blue Pacific are others waiting to join us in this happy occasion, sending good wishes from the gorgeously perfumed paradise of Hawaii. Dispatched through station KGMB in Honolulu. I don't know how it's done, but by some necromancy known to the engineers, we'll whisk you to Hawaii in the whisk of an eye. Stand by while I wink. All right? Honolulu, it's all yours.
Webley Edwards speaking over in Honolulu, Hawaii, and the Mutual Broadcasting System's coast-to-coast network has reached out more than 2,000 miles by shortwave to KGMB in Honolulu and KHBC in Hilo. Mountain country, the prairie states, the Midwest, the Atlantic states, and New England. And to you, our next-door neighbors in California, the good old Don Lee Network, our new mutual relationship is just a continuation of a long friendship that means a great deal to us here in Hawaii. Harry Owens and his Royal Hawaiians with Raymond Andrade and Alvin Scoliolani greet you now with music in a typical Hawaiian manner and played from a spot beneath the cocoa palms right on the beach at Waikiki. A salute to Mutual Coast to Coast as modern instruments of the orchestra mingle with war drums and cans of old Hawaii.
That was an official send-off in Hawaiian to Mutual Coast to Coast.
Shortwave radio, and then across the continent over the new network of the coast-to-coast mutual broadcasting system. We send the friendly greeting of the people of the Hawaiian Islands to every station in the network and to every one of its millions of listeners. This is Webley Edwards speaking as manager of KGMB Honolulu and for KHBC Hilo, and in behalf of Fred J. Hart, the president of the Honolulu Broadcasting Company, from the bottom of our hearts, aloha. We return you to the mainland.
And many, many thanks to all you good people over in the islands. We're back in Hollywood now where our celebration continues, but first we take just a few seconds again for station identification. Do your duty, John.
This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
For another star, film fans, here's one for you. Who is the talented singing and dancing star to appear with Sonia Haney in the new 20th Century Fox picture, One in a Million? Give up? Well, it's the young lady who stands right here in the wings, Dixie Dunbar. Will you come on, Dixie? Well, Dixie, what's a good word?
Well, Conrad, it's thrilling to be present on this occasion, which makes radio history.
Well, it certainly is, Dixie.
All Hollywood is talking about Mutual's arrival on the Pacific Coast, and we're all very happy to welcome a great new transcontinental network. To both Mutual and the Don Lee Golden Group, may I say congratulations. We give you every good wish for your success.
And thank you, Dixie, very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to introduce a young man who was a finalist in a recent talent contest here on the Pacific Coast. A young 20-year-old baritone from Riverside, California, Frank Taviglione. Frank, I want you to announce your own number, will you?
Okay, Mr. Nagel. I shall sing the cavatina from Faust, Avant Quitte.
All right. Good to have you back with us again.
Thank you.
Highlight of our inaugural program. A salute from Hollywood in the appearance of a distinguished guest and a brilliant actor. Edward Arnold in scenes from his new picture produced by B.P. Schulberg for Paramount, John Meade's Woman. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, for an actor to introduce another actor is often a difficult matter. Just as there is honor among thieves, so is there among actors. And a performer who would fail to speak in a complimentary manner of another at such a time would be a pretty poor sort of chap. But there's no need for anything save absolute honesty and frankness on my part in introducing Eddie Arnold. As to his abilities as an actor, I know there's nothing I need to say. You've seen him yourself in such sterling performances as Diamond Jim, and more recently in Come and Get It. But because we've worked together, perhaps it's been my good fortune to come to know Eddie personally, perhaps a little better than most of you. And you have my word for it that Eddie Arnold, the man, is a real prince. I count it a privilege to present him to you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Edward Arnold.
Thank you, Conrad. I appreciate everything you said. But I'm still wondering about the implication of honor among actors as well as thieves. Which classification do you and I come under?
Well, the only thing I've ever known you to steal, Eddie, was just about every picture in which you appeared.
Fast thinking, Nagel. Fast thinking.
Oh, no, Eddie. I know. A real trooper as you are, you've got to take a truly personal interest in each of the characters that you play. You must analyze and try to thoroughly understand every thought, every impulse of the man you're going to be in the picture just before the first scene is taken.
Well, that's true, Conrad. I like to be pretty well acquainted with each new character as he comes along. Diamond Jim and I, got to be great pals, probably because I had the pleasure of meeting him twice.
Well, before you give us the preview scenes of John Meade's Woman, I wonder if you'll tell us how you feel about this particular character, Eddie.
Of course. John Meade, I liked from the first time I met him in the original script. Not because he's particularly good or heroic, but because he's true, consistent to what he is.
A lumber king, isn't he?
When the story opens, yes. But the key to the man is in his background. John Meade started out as a common logger with ambition and a pair of fists. He asked no quarter and gave none. And because he was stronger in both body and mind, than the people he had to fight, he won out. And at 45, we find him at the top. The years changed him in many ways. He wore different clothes, lived in a mansion, and rode in expensive cars. But in reality, John Meade was the same ruthless, determined, two-fisted fighter of 30 years before. He hadn't thought of anyone else's feelings for so long, he'd forgotten they had any. Otherwise, he never could have treated Teddy Connor so.
Teddy Connor?
Yes, she's the girl in the... You see, when... But I'm telling you too much of the story.
Well, something tells me that Teddy Connor manages finally to change his philosophy. Am I right?
That, Conrad, you'll have to wait and see.
All right, Eddie. Wait we shall. Ladies and gentlemen, Edward Arnold in preview scenes from John Meade's Woman.
Finds John Meade, one-time logger, rich, powerful, and undisputed lumber king of the nation. And with wealth has come social position, even to the degree that he is engaged to Caroline Hayes, daughter of one of Chicago's best families. Strange, then, that we should find him late one evening in the library of his luxurious mansion, having supper with a young woman. A young woman decidedly not from one of Chicago's best families.
More pie?
I can't do it.
Why so sad?
I know how much I'll want it tomorrow.
I'll take the rest with you.
I was going to... Well, thanks for the meal, mister.
The pleasure was all mine.
You're crazy. Tell me, whatever made you decide to do the Good Samaritan act for me?
Well, I'll tell you. When my car stopped there at the stop signal and you stood on the curb and just out of a clear sky shouted pig at me, it aroused my interest. You see, I'm not accustomed to being called a pig. At any rate, not to my face.
Gee, I suppose I ought to apologize, but... Well, I was a blame tired and hungry and
You look so rich and well fed sitting up there in that car of yours.
I know. Oh, forget it. What's more important is how and why were you weak and hungry?
Oh, story of my life, huh?
Mm, something like that.
Well, it's simple and sour. The Middle West, a little farm, and a lot of bad luck.
Hmm. Where do you live? In the park?
The Elite Hotel, and it's worse than the park.
Mm. What's your name?
Teddy Connor. Say, who are you, the district attorney?
I know, I'm John Meade, the Lumber King. Did you ever hear of me?
Well, I've heard of lumber.
I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
All right, I won't ask it.
Oh, go ahead and ask it.
What would you do if you can't get a job?
What would you do?
That answers it.
Well, I got a blow.
Now, wait a minute. Sit down. You know, you're not the dumbest girl I've ever met. In fact, it isn't painful to talk to you.
Oh, this is too much.
As for beauty?
Yes, go on.
You'll do.
I have everything.
You're a very interesting girl.
Do you want me to tell you what I think of you?
I'll take a chance.
Well, you're not the worst bore in the world.
Well, that's something.
That's pretty nearly everything. And then I get a feeling that when you say something, it's worth listening to.
Thank you.
And as for beauty...
Now, wait a minute.
You have charm. Well, now I gotta go.
Teddy.
Huh?
This is for you. You can use it, can't you?
So you're $100 bill, huh? Oh, you buy a lot of pie, you would. Well, pretty tough I can't keep you, pal, but that's the way it goes. Here.
You didn't hear me. I said it was yours.
I heard you. It's no go. Thanks, just the same.
Okay, palsy walsy. I'll have Mike drive you home.
Swell. Well, so long. Say, wait a minute. I nearly forgot.
What?
The pie. I can't leave that. Oh, boy, do I love pie.
Take all you want. You may be a little crazy, Teddy, but you're a swell kid.
A swell kid. A girl who can see the truth and have the nerve to speak it. That's Teddy Connor in the eyes of John Meade. That and no more. Despite the fact that he sends her expensive flowers, which she promptly returns to the florist. But to Teddy Connor, John Meade is more than someone casually met and easily forgotten. Yet it's more luck than anything else they meet again. Meade has called Tim Matthews, his right-hand man and boss of his lumber camps, to Chicago. Anxious to show Tim the town, he decides to find a girl for him.
Sure, I mean it, Teddy. Tonight. But why shouldn't you? Well, it's like this. Tim Matthews is in town. He's my camp boss. We started out as loggers together. He's here, and I want to show him Chicago. You like him. He doesn't like the rich either. Yeah? Listen, I'll call for you at 8. Well, how's that for service?
I gotta hand it to you.
You like her. She's all right.
You stuck on her?
For me? I should say none.
Ain't you afraid I'll cut you out? Well, now that that's settled, how about telling me why you sent for me? I know it wasn't just to take me out dancing with some girl.
No, I don't think that was the reason, Tim.
Besides, I want to get back. You can have your city. Give me the woods.
Well, you're not going back, Tim.
Huh?
You heard me. You're not going back. We're getting out of lumber, Tim. There's more to be made than wheat.
You're crazy. Lumber's all you know, all I know.
And that's where you're wrong. Listen, get this into your thick head. There's been a drought, hasn't there? A big one. Hundreds, thousands of farmers in the Middle West are losing their farms. Well, their loss is going to be somebody's gain. Mine.
Oh, well, if you just want to take over a few abandoned farms...
I didn't say a few, and I didn't say abandoned farms. I'm going to do in wheat what I've already done in lumber. A combine. Those who want to sell at our price will buy from. Those who don't, we'll freeze out.
You can't do that, John. That's what you did before in lumber. Think of the little guys you sent to the wall, and they hate you for it.
Now, let them. The ones who can't take it have always hated those who could.
Besides, you can't leave the country up there as it is. We got to reforest. I told you that 100 times. It's like murder to leave that country without watershed. It means floods. It means
there's no more lumber to come out of there. That's what it means. To us.
To you, maybe, but not to me. Besides, I'm not a chair or an icebox to be moved from place to place and job to job as you see fit.
No, you'll do as I say, Tim. I run this game and we play it my way. And I'll make the rules. Come on, snap out of it, Tim. You're thinking too much. It was never good for you, you know. Now leave that to me. Yes? Oh, hello, Caroline.
The girl I'm engaged to. When do you see her?
Yeah. Oh, you bought a horse. Well, if you and Rodney both agree, she must be all right. At 8 tonight? What for? Oh, now, do I have to go? But look, Tim Matthews is in town, and I... Okay, I will. Yes. All right, Caroline. Yes, my dear. Goodbye. Oh, Jim, my boy, you don't know it, but you're stepping right out in style tonight. It seems that James Meltons are giving a little shindig in honor of my approaching marriage to Caroline. So you're going along with us.
Yeah, but what about the girl you called?
Well,
tell me somebody or other.
We'll take her, too. Jim, the Meltons may not know it, but they're giving a great party tonight.
And some party it is. Tim Matthews, uncomfortable in a rented tuxedo. Teddy Connors, embarrassingly conspicuous in a cheap street dress, among a throng of perfectly attired guests. But both quickly make up for their shortcomings in dress by other activities. Tim relieves innumerable male guests of excess funds by a superb exhibition of logger camp billiards, and then promptly gives the proceeds to the servants of the house. Meanwhile, Teddy has imbibed far too freely in cocktails, and climaxes the evening by diving, fully dressed, in the swimming pool, and later pulling the dignified hostess in after her. Caroline Haig is horrified. John Meade, merely amused. But the party does more than merely shock Chicago society to its depths. It brings to John full realization of a fact he has long suspected. That Caroline Haig is marrying him not for love, but for the wealth and position he can bring her. That she really loves Rodney Bentley. Tim Matthews, too, has sensed the situation and loyally has gone to John.
Did you think I didn't know it? Well, I did. You see, Tim, Miss Caroline Haig is too high type of a girl for me to marry. In fact, the charming lady is a perfect mate for that charming young man, Mr. Rodney Bentley.
Did you say, man?
I'm no fool. Well, I think Miss Caroline Haig will find that out. I'm an expert at settling accounts. You know, that's the trouble with Caroline. She's an amateur.
What are you going to do?
Simple, Tim, simple. While Caroline is waiting for me down at the church for this big wedding of hers and mine, I'll be at the city hall getting married to another girl. Uh-huh. Who isn't an amateur?
What girl?
Oh, Teddy Common.
Teddy? Oh, John, you can't. You got that girl wrong. I've watched her. She's a good kid and...
What do I care what she is? I'm settling a little account with Miss Caroline Haig. She'll never be able to hold up a head in Chicago again.
But hasn't Teddy anything to say about this?
Well, she'll have nothing to complain about. She'll be well paid.
John, you can't do that. That kid's stuck on you.
Don't be silly.
On the level.
So? Well, that makes it all the cuter.
Oh, Paul, John Meade, someday you're going to run into a buzzsaw, and I hope you do.
I'm a lumberman, Tim. I ought to be able to handle it.
You're kidding. You don't mean it.
Sure I mean it. Something clicked when I first stared at you in the street. Caroline Hayes not my kind of a girl. She never could be. So if you can see it the same way, you needn't worry where your next pie is coming from.
Hey, wait a minute. You mean you honest want me to be...
I want you to be my wife. Honest.
Oh, Pete.
There.
I'm sorry. I just can't believe it.
Well, believe it or not, we're going to be married. Here, take this and get yourself such a pretty dress.
Oh,
I'll pick you up tomorrow at 1 o'clock, huh? We'll get a license and get married at the city hall.
This isn't happening. I know it isn't. Look, but don't look too hard and wake me. You know, there's a church downtown. When I first got here, I used to go and sit in it just by myself and make believe I was being married. It had me praying, if you can buy that. And as long as this is just a pretty dream,
Will you marry me there, mister?
I wouldn't marry you anywhere else.
Kiss me, John. Oh, I don't open.
1 o'clock tomorrow, Teddy. 1 o'clock tomorrow.
1 o'clock. Forever.
And if you're a good girl, I'll buy you a whole pie for a wedding present, huh?
And with the power vested in me, I pronounce you man and wife.
Lumber King, Jill Socialite, read about it.
Hell, I read the President's Estate. I have to read all about it. And he married Luna Henry.
You can't do it, John. An hour after the wedding, you can't run off and leave Teddy.
Who says I can't? There's no time for sentiment, Tim. This sweet deal won't wait. I've got to work fast.
So it is just a laugh, huh?
A laugh?
Marrying her.
Well, that's all.
Any plans?
Oh, when I get back, I'll buy her a place somewhere, send her to Europe if she wants to go.
Did you ever think of trying to be married to her?
Mind your own business, Tim.
You're damn right I will.
What does that mean?
Just this. You got the same idea about Teddy that you have about me. About the wheat market. About everything else. You buy them when you want them and you sell them when you don't. Well, by God, I've stood it as long as I'm going to. I'm through, see? And I just hope that Teddy finds out how you really feel about her and soon. You've been needing a real taken down. Somebody to show you up to yourself for the dirty, selfish heel you are. And unless I'm wrong, Teddy's the girl for the job.
Get out of here.
Don't worry. I'm going.
And don't come back. You and your heroics. I know what's wrong, Matthews. You're in love with the girl yourself. And you can have her when I get ready to give it to you. You've always been soft, Tim, forever pleading about reforestation and our obligation to the future. But I never knew before you were a quitter. And there's no place in my setup for yellow streaks. I'm going to corner wheat, do you understand? Corner wheat, just as I did lumber. And I can do it without you just as well as with you. I know where I'm going, Tim, and nobody's going to stop me from where I'm going to go. Now get out!
Thank you, Edward Arnold. Thank you for the preview scenes from John Meade's Woman. I'm sure that listeners throughout the country are as eager as I am to see the picture and learn the outcome of the marriage of John Meade to Teddy Connor.
The appearance of Mr. Arnold tonight was by courtesy of V.P. Schulberg and by arrangement with RKO, where Mr. Arnold is now completing production of Robber Baron. Appearing tonight in support of Mr. Arnold were Paula Winslow as Teddy Connor, the role played in the picture by Francine Larrimore, and Norman Field as Tim Matthews, played in the picture by George Bancroft. The radio adaptation by True Bortman. Through courtesy of Boris Morris, musical director of Paramount, atmospheric music under the direction of Frederick Stark was from the original score by Frederick Hollander.
Claude Sweetin is waiting for us again in San Francisco, this time with a rare treat, the fine operatic tenor Edwin Imhaus, who will sing Vesti la Giuba from Pagliacci. Now, if the engineers will work another miracle for us, you may take over, Claude.
La faccia in Parigi.
Hollywood, we thank you, Edwin Imhouse. Presenting David Brookman, his orchestra and glee choir, and Ray Lynn offering Bye Bye Baby in the renowned Brookman Manor. You may get underway, David. In California, we have presented the salute of the Don Lee Golden Group to Mutual and its millions of listeners on this occasion, which welcomes Mutual, the nation's newest transcontinental broadcasting chain, to the Pacific Network. Again, to Mutual's listeners everywhere, we send greetings and a world of good wishes through your master of ceremonies, Conrad Nagel.
I'm honored to be your master of ceremonies tonight. So now I say good night. And a very happy new year to every one of you.
Thank you, Conrad. John Conte speaking, and this is the Coast to Coast Network of the Mutual Broadcasting System.